Do you ever have trouble gaining access to something? Maybe you've forgotten your keys and you're trying to get in the car, or maybe you forgot the keys in the car. Or what about trying to get logged in to a website or a program and you forgot the password? You can't get in. You can't access what you need, what you desire to access. Hello, my name is Paul Hines. I pastor Mumfordville Baptist Church. Each week I bring a devotion from God's Word, and this week we're in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Our church is reading through the Psalms this year, and we're in Psalm 24 for the Monday of this week. In Psalm 24, we find the answer to the question, how do we gain access to God? How is it that we enter into the holy, perfect, unblemished presence of the God of the universe? Let's look together at Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. He is the owner of everything. Everything we will ever experience, God owns. He is the one who calls the shots and is in complete control of all of those things. In fact, it says in verse 2, He laid its foundation on the seas and established it on the rivers. God is the one who put everything where it is. He's the owner, the one who is in complete and total control, but also the one who is completely and totally holy, other than us. In complete and total perfection, that's who God is. So the next question that is asked here in verse 3, who can ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Who can go to the mountain? Who has access to the mountain of the Lord? Who can stand in God's holy, His perfect, His unblemished place? Who can worship God? Who can go up to the mountain where He is now and forever? Who can stand in the holy presence of God, both now, right now, and forever? Because God is perfect, His home, His place, His abode is perfect, completely unblemished. And it's not that God can't. God will not be in the presence of sin, disobedience, defiance, creatures and people who choose to live in willful disobedience to God. The scripture tells us all of us have sinned, Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the expectations, the desires that God has for us. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. God has promised punishment for sin, anything that is not holy, and that's us. We are unholy. How can we, who are unholy, be in the presence of what is holy? Verse 4 of Psalm 24, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not appealed to what is false and who has not sworn deceitfully. So the one who can go into the holy presence of God is the one who has clean hands. Our hands reveal what we've been doing or who we are. If you're a person who works outside all the time, farming and working in rough things, your hands will be rough. If you're an automobile mechanic, likely in the cracks and the crevices of your hands, you'll find grease and dirt that is almost impossible to get out. You may find that in looking at your hands may reveal the very work, the activity of your life. If you've ever been outside as a kid and made a mud pie, you got deep down into the mud puddle and you pulled out that nasty mud and you made a beautiful mud pie, your hands revealed your work. Your hands reveal that you've been in the mud. It's all over your hands. And so what we find here in this passage is the one who can go into the presence of God is one who has clean hands, hands that have been cleansed, hands that reveal they've been cleaned by God, because He's the only one who can remove the sin and the stain that is in our lives. This is a beautiful passage of scripture in 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, what we've done wrong, our lack of meeting God's expectations, He is faithful. It's not us. It's not about us. It's not about our ability to be faithful, for He is faithful and righteous, always in the right and never in the wrong. He is righteous to forgive us of our sins. That means to wipe the slate clean, to no longer hold to our account the sin that we have committed. And it ends like this: to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all the unrightness that is in our lives and is on our hands is only clean, cleansed, washed away, removed by the faithful, righteous God of the universe. The beautiful thing is the God who is on the mountain, who is holy and high and other than us, desires to reach down and remove what would prevent us from coming to His presence, to clean our hands, to wash us clean. And that happens by the living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who reaches down by the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary to wash our hands clean. This happens the moment we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior and Lord, but it should be an ongoing process that we come before God with our hands open, raised, saying, "Father, would You cleanse my hands? Cleanse my life of what is unfit for You, of what would prevent me from coming boldly into Your presence?" We need to lift up our hands and ask God to cleanse us. It says those who have clean hands, but also a pure heart. The heart that is mentioned here is not the organ that is beating inside of your body, the circulatory organ that moves the blood around in your body. That's not what He's talking about, but the part of us where desires and will and motivation comes from. Ezekiel 36 is a great passage regarding our heart and what God desires to do with it. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 29. "I will also sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean," like what we talked about just a moment ago. "I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols." And then He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances," His expectations. "Then you will live in the land that I give your fathers and you will be my people. I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness." Notice He says here, I am going to be the one who's going to take your heart that is beating for you, that is self-centered and its desires and motivations are only for you and what is sinful. And I'm going to put inside of you a new heart that is beating for me, for the glory of God and doing what is right. And on top of that, I'm going to put my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, inside of you to guide you, to guide your heart, to guide the new heart I'm giving you, and to guide the desires, the ambitions, the motivations, and the direction of your life. Here's the beautiful thing. God doesn't look down from His holy mountain and just shake His head and say, "You'll never be able to come up here. You'll never be able to come into my presence." Instead, He gives us, by the means of the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, the ability to be cleansed, and by His grace through His Son, giving us a new heart and His Spirit that would beat for Him, that we can have a relationship with Him, that we can come boldly into His presence and enter His throne of grace by what Jesus has done. He says here in Matthew 5:8, "The pure in heart are blessed, for they'll see God." Those who've had a heart transplant, a beautiful promise from our Savior. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not appealed to what is false, who stands on the truth of the Word of God, who's not sworn to what is deceitful, not sworn deceitfully, he'll receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There's the key. God is the one who rescues us and gives us the ability to have access to His throne. Do you have that today? Have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and a relationship with God? If there's any way I or Mumfordville Baptist Church can help you ascend to the holy presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, would you reach out to us on our website at mumfordvillebaptist.org? You can find out how to contact us. I hope you have a great week. I hope today you've come boldly into the presence of God through your Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a great week. God bless.